Christmas is a rather strange season. To give you a sense of what I mean, during what other season of the year do we play music for that season a month before it begins? I can't think of one. Thanksgiving? We don't play Thanksgiving music. What would it be like? 4th of July? Sadly, we don't play patriotic music. It just is. There is no other day we celebrate in which we actually play music for that, much less a whole month of music on every radio station. In a similar way, almost every TV show has a Christmas episode. They're not very good, but they have Christmas episodes. But there's something about Christmas that inspires everyone to do something with it. Now, the sad thing about Christmas episodes and TV shows is they run pretty much the exact same sequence. Either it's about gift giving, so the whole episode is about the wrong gift that was given, or trying to find a gift, or how we got the right gift in exchange, whatever it might be. There's something to do with gifts. There's some problem with getting the right gift. Or it's about the person who didn't like Christmas and doesn't want to celebrate it, and so they go on this whole thing about how the person has to find their desire for Christmas, and at the end they like Christmas and everything's happy in the end. Yay. Or the last type is that someone has this epiphany, like they were miserly or angry or frustrated or whatever it might be, and they're a bitter person all the show long, and by the end they're nice and charitable again. Yay, Christmas miracle. Pretty much all the Christmas episodes boil down to those three ideas. And what this does for us is it makes Christmas about gift giving, transformation, and charity. That's it. That's all we talk about when it comes to Christmas. And so our entire sense of the season is reduced to that. Well, I want to open up your concept of Christmas and show you what the true joy of the season would be and how it really comes to help us experience something greater. Something that guides us through life and teaches how to deal with the things of the world. So the first lesson that Christmas teaches us is peace. Yeah, not very surprising, I know. We talk about peace all the time when it's related to Christmas. But the peace I'm talking about is different. It's not just this feeling of goodness or the sense that things are right. This is a different kind of peace. Think of it this way. I think all of us are wrapped up with so many different issues in the world right now. We see wars, we see political problems, we have strife in our family, we have so much chaos in our world, so many bad things that lead to lack of peace, frustration, anger, whatever it might be. Jesus had the same thing. In the first century, he was born to a world of political oppression, where there was wars going on, the elite were controlling the poor, there's slavery, there's all these problems going on, internal strife, the Jews wanted to fight the Romans to make them free from their land, there was a lot of tension in the world. And it wasn't in that tension that Jesus came and said, I will fix your problems, there will be peace now. Or he didn't come and say, now let's all get together and solve our differences. None of that happened. He appeared in the midst of it. Same works for us. Jesus appears in the midst of our problems, in the midst of the challenge of the world. The world hasn't changed, but he teaches us how to deal with that. It's very simple. Look at where he's born. He's born in a stable in the middle of a field, so that we may learn what true peace looks like. When we go encounter him, there's none of that there. There's no strife, there's no wars, there's no problems, there's just a baby lying in a manger. That's it. It's very simple. So often, we wrap ourselves up with the chaos of the world and get so overwhelmed by it that we get stuck in it. We don't have to. We just have to go out to the manger. We just have to go away from it for a moment to realize everything's going to be okay. God has this. He'll take care of it. He's in control of everything. It'll be all right. There's more to it than just that. So much of our problems right now are wrapped around interpersonal conflicts, struggles with people. And most of that's because of words, things we say. When we go out to meet Jesus, he doesn't say anything to us. He's a baby. What is he going to say? He just stares at us. That reminds us of something very valuable. When it comes to all the challenges we have in life, so many of them can be resolved just by sitting with a person and getting to know them first. So often we just jump to conclusions and jump to what we want instead of just being there with them, experiencing the person as they are. This is the joy of the peace that God wants to give us, to just be there, to not worry about all this stuff, to realize that God has this. He's there in the midst of all of our problems. He's going to help us through them. It'll be okay. The second lesson we're taught by Christmas is one of simplicity. Everything about this is very simple. Our world is not. We are very good at making things very complicated. We have advertisement everywhere. Everywhere you go, someone's trying to get your attention, someone's trying to sell you something, something's going wrong, there's a problem out there. Our world is so complicated that almost every aspect of our society is run by specialists. We almost can't do anything anymore without a specialist. It's so immensely complicated. Some of us like the complexity. It gives us power. For the most of it, though, what we end up doing with the complexity of our world is wrapping ourselves so much around it that our world is filled with things and there's no more space. Look at the manger again. It's incredibly simple. There's no advertising. There's no banners or slogans around it. There's no high-definition TV. There's no video games. There's no games around it. There's no things there at all. It's incredibly simple. It's a rock cave with sheep in it. There's nothing more to it. It's that simple. Because the simplicity teaches us something. Simplicity is good. Simplicity is healing. Simplicity gives us a new outlook on life. That we don't have to deal with the chaos. We create it. What we really want is we want to just be. We want to just sit there. We want to encounter God and just be with Him. We don't have to do anything. We just sit there. It's very, very simple. Jesus teaches us as we encounter Him, we don't have to be anything special. We don't have to do anything special. We just come to Him and let Him be, so we can be with Him. Simplicity. The third lesson that Christmas teaches us is about prayer. Nativity is a great example of what prayer looks like. So often we talk about prayers in action. I did my prayers, checked it off the list, good for me. I did all the stuff I was supposed to. So that prayer becomes a rote list of things that we do. Prayer isn't. Prayer is about being, just being there. It's also about encountering God, letting Him come to us. When we come to the manger scene, Jesus doesn't speak to us. He's a baby. He just sits there. What are we going to say? We don't need to say anything. We just need to be, whether it be staying by the side of the crib and looking at Him, wondering at the mystery that God became man. Or maybe we peer in and look in His eyes as He looks at us with such love and devotion that He says, I want you, come closer to me. Maybe we're so bold that we pick Him up and hold Him in our hands. This all is prayer. We're pondering the mystery of the fact that God became human, that we can encounter Him, we can touch Him, we can be with Him. This is the joy of that simplicity in prayer, the true route. The route isn't about words. It's about being. It's about coming to Jesus. It's about staying with Him. It's about desiring to be with Him. That's all it is. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to be special. We don't have to do all these routes of prayer or types of prayer. Just be with Him. The last lesson I'm going to teach you about Christmas is a kind of strange one. God does what God wants. The way it works, God's going to do what God wants. Regardless of how much we think otherwise, He's going to do whatever He wants. Think of it this way. If the God of all creation was going to come and be with us, how do you think He would have done it? Big temple? Like come to the temple and fire and lightning and this big entourage of angels and like, here I am, I've come to be with you. That'd be terrifying. We think of God as judge with the gavel being like, this is it. You screwed up enough, we're done. Or maybe this giant palace, that God became man in a palace with all these soldiers and knights and entourage around Him and this big pomp and circumstance. Here is your God. He didn't. He did something so weird. He came out in a field, in a cave. No one around Him. Just a few shepherds came to visit. A few angels glorified Him for a while. No one noticed. Next to no one noticed. Why is this important? Because if it was with a big entourage, the person could easily make themselves God, and they wouldn't know the difference for a while. The only way we're going to be certain that it's God is if it makes no sense to us. It's not the way we had anticipated it. And that's the beauty of it. We would have never anticipated God to show up in a field, in a cave, be born with no one around, nothing happening. We would have thought that was the strangest thing ever and dismissed it like everyone else did. But that's the way it works. God does what God wants. Same thing works here. If we believe that God does what God wants, then something very special has happened. He didn't come as our judge. He didn't come in condemnation and fire. He came because his first desire was us. His first desire is that he'd be so immensely approachable that we wouldn't be afraid, we wouldn't be scared, that anyone could approach him without any concern. This is God's deepest desire, why it happened the way it did. Because God does as God wants. God wants you, he's going to make it accessible. God desires for us to know him on his terms, not our terms. We don't get to make up these things. We don't get to choose God, so that we know for certainty that God exists and it's not just me. This is the beauty of the incarnation, the beauty of God becoming man, the beauty of the nativity. This wasn't our way, so that we know that it was God's. As we ponder the mystery of Christmas, I encourage you to think through these things. What does it mean that God came to bring us peace? That he wants peace in our lives because he brought it to us? Or simplicity, that there's always space for him. There's a beauty of just being with him without worrying about all the other complexities of life. That he's teaching us how to stay with him, how to come to know him, and know for certain that he's here. Ponder these mysteries. Let them wash over you. Let them encourage you to come close to him, that you may know that God became man and that God is truly with us.